address the Colt to Frank run coming to an end on Saturday in the Final Four here in just a moment. For now, though, it's never too early to look at bracketology, right? Day after the NCAA tournament ends, depends, Joe Lenardi.
Depends who you're a fan of, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Joe Lenardi's pumping out a new bracketology here, and the good news is 7 Big 12 teams make the field. So the Big 12 apparently is going to be pretty sturdy, pretty strong next year. But K-State, one of those 7 teams? Are they?
No.
Okay.
No,
well,
they're not.
More good news is that the Big 12 is going to be really strong because there are 2 teams that are in the on-the-bubble section that aren't actually in the tournament. They're in that group of 8, the first 4 out, the next 4 out. So K-State, one of those 2, right?
No.
Okay, so we're at 9 teams. There's 10 teams in the Big 12.
Yeah, if you're right? doing the math at home, the answer that you're coming to is, uh-oh. Yeah, because out of the 10 teams in the Big 12, 9 are either in the tournament or on Lenardi's bubble, and then there is Kansas State University.
Man.
And it's, again, it's Lenardi, it's bracketology, and most importantly, it's April 4th. But not great. I mean, I would rather be, you know, listed as a 7 seed in the tournament, wouldn't you?
Would I rather have him prognosticate K-State
yes.
in the tournament? Well, yeah, probably, because, I mean, this is just at least a gauge of what somebody from a national standpoint on the outside looking in sees with K-State. Now, are they as close to do they know as much about the team as you or I probably know, obviously, because they're not following it on a day-to-day basis, but they're also then going to be further removed from it and have less bias one way or the other, whether it be positive or negative to K-State, even though you think Lenardi's a K-State hater. But, you know, this is going to be a more unbiased opinion, I would think, from the outside looking in at what K-State is. And it is legitimately surprising to me that K-State wouldn't make this list. I'm almost more surprised that he puts 9 out of the 10 already either in or in the first 4 out, like that close to the tournament. TCU had a nice year, but to count on them being in the tournament where he has them as an 8 seed, that's probably a little much for me. Texas is really talented, but they have a long way to go. He has Texas Tech actually in the field. I mean, there are some nice pieces there, but do we really see anything from Texas Tech this year that makes you think, all right, this team certainly is going to be in the tournament? So, you know, to me, my point is there are basically some stretches there, but he's making what I would consider some stretches for other teams in the Big 12 and then still leaving K-State out of there, which would tell me that he thinks even less of them than what it would even appear having them be the 1 team out.
He also has Oklahoma as a 7 seed in the tournament, which would be a heck of a bounce back year given what happened last year. And I know
they'll be good. They got Trey Young coming
right.
in.
I know that you know they were a really young team. I'm not saying I don't expect them to make the tournament, but that's a really big turnaround to assume they're going to make.
What about Oklahoma State losing Brad Underwood? I think that is huge.
Yeah, no, totally agree. That's another stretch to me to go ahead and make that leap. Now, he does have him in the first 4 out, but he has him literally as the 2nd team out of the field. There are so many question marks with that. Like, Oklahoma State. I'm
Juwan Evans, Jeffrey Carroll, you know, being out the door. Yeah.
They lost Phil Forte.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, Oklahoma State's got some issues there, I would have to think. I don't know their recruiting class all that well, and I'm not claiming to be an expert on any of these teams, but just based on having a limited knowledge of it, there seems to be a lot of stretches there. I will just put it that way. So I was surprised that K-State's not in there, but I just think at least this is the first of what may be a lot of harsh realities for K-State fans to face when more and more preseason predictions start to come out. Now, a lot could happen between now and then. You could go out and land a big guy that people start to get excited about. I mean, they consider themselves, I think, to be in the mix for Mark Smith, who's a fairly elite type of point guard out, but I think that's a pipe dream. So,
what you're saying is that K-State's roster today is not the same as it will be when we finally get to the
correct.
Season.
Like, there could be an addition, I suppose, that makes you get more excited, and maybe that would change things. But as it stands right now, there's not going to be a whole lot of national buzz for the team being anything more than what they were this past year.
3 4-star recruits for Oklahoma State. I think that might have answered.
But, I mean, we'll see if they end up.
Yeah.
You know.
Oklahoma State kept Lamont Evans, who was a guy that was here in Manhattan. He's now their lead assistant. Brad tried to take him to Illinois, and Oklahoma State got him to stay. So he's a big part in recruiting. for them. I know that's been a thing that's helped out Oklahoma State. But enough of that. I know that's negative. K-State basketball negativity. At least I talked about that before I did Frank. Like, K-State men's basketball made the show before Frank Martin made the show today. He lost in the Final Four. His team certainly displayed a lot of guts going on that 16-0 run to get back into the game. I know Mark Few after the game said they played with the heart of a lion like their coach, and you could see it with that run that they had. Frank had another one of his moments where he started tearing up after the press conference that went viral, and he got a lot of run for that. I'll be honest with you. It was an exhausting 2 weeks. And, I mean, I bring it on myself, but as I said and opined about last week, it's because I care. And he won. He was the first guy I had ever really seen win at K-State. There's always going to be a crazy attachment there for me. And it is unbelievably frustrating the way things ended when you feel like it really shouldn't have had to end right then and there, and that there were mistakes made, and that's why what happened. So to see him doing that was obviously going to, as I said, rip off that scab and make things. But you know, you can only be upset, angry, sad that intensely for so long before you just get to the point where you're burned out. And by the time, what I'm saying is it took me till like the middle of Final Four week to start feeling that. And then by the time the game actually got there, I was just like, I mean, I went and watched it at an establishment here. There were a lot of people, by the way, cheering loudly for Frank. It was actually a very fun environment to watch the game in because so many people were pulling for him. It felt honestly sort of like watching a K-State game. That was fun, but I wasn't beat up that they lost. I just was kind of like, okay, let's exhale. Let's move on from this. It's going to be less stressful for everybody no matter what side of the aisle you're on in this whole deal. They, by getting to the Final Four, absolutely drove home my point the whole time, which was, you know, I think there was a sentiment of people trying to run down Frank Martin as a coach because it had taken a while at South Carolina and because it makes him feel better, frankly, about the current state here and about him leaving. You know, it makes you feel better if your ex doesn't do well. Well, when the ex is doing well, that's more painful, so I understand. But it proved the point that he's a great coach by getting to the Final Four. I didn't think he really had a legitimate shot to win the national championship, so it wasn't like my expectations were really crushed there just because he's bringing a knife to a gunfight when you're talking about Gonzaga and North Carolina. So I was okay with it, made peace with it. I'm glad we can move on, and I don't have to be angry about it every single day.
Yeah, I mean, that was a part of my argument from the beginning. It's totally understandable to be either, you know, frustrated or happy seeing what he was doing. But if you want to avoid all of that, that's understandable too. And that's how some K-State fans were. And eventually it does wear you down. And I can't imagine how it was for you, because I can just say that for me, it was very exhausting by the end of it.
I just think there were a lot of factors that made it more of a story than perhaps it would have been if there was just one and not the other. If you're a K-State fan, and to me it became a story regardless of whether you wanted to run and hide from it or not. So I felt like it was worthy of a lot of discussion. I think it was not only productive discussion, but just an entertaining discussion when things, frankly, are not all that entertaining in the world of K-State basketball right now. I think it's that. It's the fact that John Curry had just recently left.
Right, that was a huge part of it.
Yes, and then you have Frank Martin ascending at the same point in time. So you have all those things swirling, and all the talk about all those different issues, and that made it something worthy of a lot of discussion, in my humble opinion, and in a lot of people's humble opinions.
Now, one question I want to ask before we get off this topic. Because you have now gone through this, and we've seen Frank reach this point, and your opinion, with a lot of other people's opinions, has been confirmed and validated, would you feel the same way about them making a run to the Final Four a year from now?
That's a good question.
What would that be like?
It's a good question. Again, I think some of it depends on circumstance, what's happening here with K-State, where are things at. That probably plays a factor. I don't think it will have as much effect. I mean, it's the same with anything. Your first run to the Final Four, I would think, as a program, is going to feel more special than the second one just because it's the first. You know, it's the first time that it happens. It's the thing that really validates it. I've already had, as you said, like the thoughts that I had to me validated. So I don't, you know, that would be more on top of it, I suppose, but it would not be quite the barrage of everything. I would put it that way. It would not be the barrage of emotion. It would not be the barrage of social media, the barrage of tweets. I don't think you would see the same thing. Because now Frank Martin has arrived, and he's on the scene, and people remember him, and he is established. Because the other thing that happened here was we focused on the K-State aspect of it, obviously, because it's very emotional to a lot of people here. But there was also a national aspect of this where Frank had another national coming out party after I think some people had forgotten about him. And he's done it where now he's older, wiser, more mature. He's even better at dominating the media, which he was great at the first time around, even with K-State. So there was a national love fest where he probably, the biggest winner of the NCAA tournament may not be North Carolina. It might be Frank Martin with just how much media run he got from everything. So I don't think you'll see near as much the next time because there won't be as much of a novelty to it. So yeah. I think all in all, it would be much easier to handle.
All right. The only reason that I was wondering if you would say that is because if you go 2 years in a row, then as K-State fans, you're going to be like, man, it was not by any means a lightning in a bottle or something like that when he took K-State to the Elite Eight and he went there last year. We literally could have been going to the Final Four every year that we have that we've had to deal with, you know, what K-State has accomplished under Bruce Weber. And that would twist the knife a little bit, I think.
But see, I wouldn't view it like – I'm not dumb enough to sit here and say, like, had he stayed, K-State would be in three Final Fours right by now. Like, you know, I don't think
it's the tournament.
I don't think it was trending towards that. But what I know about Frank Martin is that here he made the tournament 4 or 5 years, and every single time he got in, he won at least a game. And once he took you to the Elite Eight. So there was a better chance to win tournament games and just maintain the excitement and, you know, everything that was there. So that I'm not going to be unrealistic and say I was expecting him to be I'm not even sure I would go out there and say definitively he would have made a Final Four at K-State by now. I don't know. You know, there's a million factors that could play into that. But I wanted to see if that would have happened. You Can't Be Serious. We'll finish the show next.